This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. The day is quickly approaching when our dear friends, the Kays, return from Australia. And in honor of that anticipation, I offer you this holy humor for the day. Why aren't koalas actual bears? Because they don't meet the qualifications. In all seriousness, we can get quite hung up on qualifications in and out of the church. We worry about our capability, our suitability, whether or not we're good enough or smart enough or faithful enough or holy enough to do the works of God. So in today's gospel, the disciples are troubled. They are deeply troubled. Jesus has just washed their feet, has informed them that one of the inner circle will betray him, and that Peter, his right-hand man, will deny him three times before the night is out. And all of this comes in the context of Jesus preparing his disciples for his imminent death. It is as if the ground is shifting under their feet, and it's a strange place to be deep in the season of Easter. Jesus says to them words that have been echoed countless times to families and congregations gathered around a freshly dug grave. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. The first half of our gospel lesson today is, in my experience, the most frequently chosen gospel for a funeral. And I believe that's because this image of the eternal dwelling place for our beloved departed ones, prepared for them by Jesus himself, this image is comforting in those times. The passage is part of a much larger, longer discourse that Jesus proclaims to comfort and encourage his disciples as he prepares them for his impending death and for the work that he's sending them to do. Jesus addresses the troubled hearts of his disciples by helping them discover the way to the heart of God, that place that he has indeed prepared for each of us. In creating the world at the very beginning, God's love makes space for everything that ever was, for everything that is, for everything that ever will be. God was everything in the beginning. And God in creation withdraws from being the totality of everything to leave the void into which created matter is spoken into being. In the prologue of John's gospel, we hear that no one has ever seen God. It's only God the Son who is close to the Father's heart. And this is literally in the Father's bosom. It is only God the Son who has made him known. Jesus, the Son in the heart of the Father, is the space within God where we exist, where all creation exists. We say it every Sunday, through him, all things were made. What troubles the heart of the disciples, what troubles the hearts of all of us, I would imagine, is the very real sense that our time is limited, that our ability to follow Jesus is not quite adequate. We are not qualified. Does your heart resonate with Thomas's question? Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? My heart resonates. We live with this brevity of time, the scarcity of time, and it troubles our hearts. We live in our awareness of our limited ability to be the persons God created us to be. And that, too, troubles our hearts. And Jesus answers Thomas with that well-known statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He isn't just pronouncing an exclusionary condition for salvation, as you might think when you hear that phrase cherry-picked out of its context. Jesus is offering comfort and hope to all of creation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God has made God's self known to us in the Word made flesh, the self-giving outpouring of God's love, that is Jesus. God makes space, a dwelling place for each of us, and God makes time, eternal life that includes our mortal lives. And Jesus is the way that God chooses to be connected to us. Everything that Jesus says or does is a signpost to the all-encompassing, expansive love of God. Jesus shows his disciples the way of truth that leads to life. But that's a hard thing to understand. Thomas and Philip ask their questions and reveal their confusion about where Jesus is going and what he's asking them to do. Frankly, that cluelessness is a bit of a comfort to me. They're asking the questions that everyone is thinking but is afraid to ask, I think. How can we know where you're going? What does the love of God look like? Will you show us? Like Thomas and Philip, I want to know where I'm getting and how I'm going to get there. Having answered Thomas and Philip's questions, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works I do and will, in fact, do greater works than these." Really? This is the man who walked on water. This is the man who heals people. How does that happen? How do we do works greater than these? So Jesus responds to our questions and our doubts with assurance. If you know me and know God, that's all you need. But, you know, there's always that catch. Knowing God also means doing the works of God. And we shake our heads. We say, "I can't do that. I'm not qualified. I'm no saint. I'm not Mother Teresa. I'm just me. Weak, flawed, unsure, unqualified." And Jesus breathes his spirit into us and says, "Fear not. Do not let your hearts be troubled. If you entrust your hearts to God, you can do all this and more. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Love one another as I have loved you. Believe in God. Believe in me also. Do these same works that I do among you, heal and teach and love. Do all this in my name, and these works will magnify and spread and change the world. Jesus says, I'm the way that you can be connected to God's love. I am the truth that God's love always wins out over weakness and evil and hate. I am the life that you get to live when you entrust your heart to God's love. Jesus promises to walk that way with us through the power of the Spirit. He reminds us that his purpose is to work in and through us to do God's will in the world. And this doesn't necessarily happen in those flashy, spectacular ways, like turning water into wine or raising people from the dead. Jesus has made known to us the heart of God, and he's entrusted to us this mission of making God's love known. Where might we see Jesus' work and presence in our midst? How might we show others the very heart of God? Very truly, I tell you, wherever there is healing, reconciling, life-giving work going on, that is the work of God that we've been given to do. Wherever love wins out over hate and exclusion, this is the very presence of Jesus in our midst. Wherever hungry people are fed, lonely people are visited and befriended, the heart of God's love is made known in the world. Where will you do God's work this week? To whom will you make known the heart of God's love? It's a tall order. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The only qualification for this work is love. And when you entrust your heart to God, you have access to all the love in the world. And that love is all you need. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else than the heart of God. Just the love of God. Entrust your heart to it. And don't let your hearts be troubled.